Nevertheless, whatever version you've got, are you ready to come with me as we talk about the power of vision? Are you ready? And if you have the ability to take notes, some people take them on pads, tablets, some people take them written, but just good to try and catch what we're talking about, because this is one of the most important topics that you're ever going to discover. We started last week in an introductory way. We talked about the power of a dream, and it was just introducing the topic. But I want to go a little deeper, if I may. Is that all right with you? Everyone say, go a little deeper. Because I want to talk to you, and I don't want you to come out just with knowledge. I want your life to change. That's what God really wants. And so let's have a look at this. Here's the first slide that we're looking at together. Vision. This is what vision is. It's a picture of the present that inspires passion. It's the picture of the future. I'm just seeing if you're watching there. And it's a picture of the future that inspires passion in the present. That's what vision is. And vision is a force, a power, a gift, an ability that God has given us as people. We change in our lives because of the vision that we see on the inside. What you are today, whether you're heavier than you want to be, or in great shape, whether you're richer than you want to be, whether you're poorer than you want to be, whether you're settled in life as you want to be or not, all those things, your situation in life comes out of your vision on the inside. Whatever picture you have on the inside works its way to the outside. And it's very important to understand how powerful vision is. Because we often think about the things that we may not have. And that's what defeats you in your life. Because whatever you look at, I call it the photograph principle. Whatever you look at, the camera principle is what I call it. Whatever you look at is what is going to develop in your life, just like a camera. And so I have a camera here. I have an iPhone camera. And if I do this and take a picture here of Lucille, right, and that's what I'm focusing on, that's what I'm looking at. And then I'll tie her in. Look, Christabel's getting in, okay? Oh. Wait, hey, you really mean that? No. There you go. Now, I can sit here and take a photo, and I can be having faith that I'm going to take a photo, I'm going to develop in my life like David Gibbs. You see? I can just say, yeah, David Gibbs, that's... But whatever I'm focusing on, that's what's going to develop. Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe that wasn't a good analogy for you. So if I focus on the things that I'm not, and I'm not referring to you, Lucille, though I am not a female, but if I focus on the things that I'm not instead of the things that I am, then whatever I'm not is going to develop in my life. Whatever you look at on the inside of you, that's the way God made you. That's the way He created you. And we're the only ones that can do that. That's why we're like God. So the important and exciting thing to understand is that your life can change, and it actually will change fully in accordance with the vision you see on the inside of yourself. That's how God made us. So a vision that you see, I'm talking, now vision applies to every area of life. So I'm focusing today, we're going to talk about areas of vision, like vision for, you know, what vision do you have for church, for our church, for our family? What does that look like on the inside of you? What vision do you have of the world? How do you see people? What vision do you have of God? How do you see God? We're going to talk about that. But what's really important is, and what we're focusing on today, is the vision that you have of yourself. How you see yourself. Because everything you are and the way you act comes out of the picture that you have deep down in the inside of yourself. And this is a gift that God has given us. It's one of the primary ways that God communicates with people is through vision. So let me give you an example of Joseph, who in the Old Testament gets a vision from God, but it's a vision about himself. Did you notice that? You might know that story. Joseph is there. He's a young man. He gets a vision from God, and he sees these wheat sheaves, and they're all his brothers and his mother and father, the whole lot of them, and they're all bowing down to him. That's the vision that he sees. And God shows it to him, and he receives that vision. He believes that about himself. Now, he's a little young and a little unwise, and so he articulates this vision in an unwise way. And, of course, his brothers and his parents don't really get into the idea of we're all going to bow down to you, little Joseph. Nevertheless, it was a vision from God. He got himself, because of that, and certain route traveled, certain route of life, and the vision was that he was going to be in a great position of leadership, which he turned out to be in the end, but it was quite a travel getting there. As a matter of fact, he had more trouble in his life than all his brothers put together. But he was the one that God had the vision for. So you've got to understand this, that the troubles in life never determine what you're going to achieve. Your vision determines what you're going to achieve. So you could be a blind person. And I, you know, I watch this. I watch people with their different challenges in life. And I think about it sometimes. How would I cope? I know a blind gentleman in where I live, and I say hello to him. He knows my voice. And he's a gentleman that will be on disability funds because that would be normal. And he lives a challenged life, and he walks down the street. He doesn't do very much with his life. He doesn't attain anything much, but people are beautiful. And you could be a blind person. You could think, well, if I was blind, I wouldn't know what to do. I can't see how my life would be great anymore. And because you can't see, that's what your life will become. You could also be blind and be Stevie Wonder, who's also blind. And you will say, well, he's very talented. Everybody's very talented. Everybody's very wonderful. You don't need to be Stevie Wonder. You don't need to be anybody else. But you have got gifts that nobody else has got. You can do things that nobody else can do. You were made and designed by God to leave an incredible mark on this world for good. You were designed from the beginning. Everything about your makeup, even the neurological studies, psychoneurological studies they're doing now, are proving and substantiating what God said all along. There's nothing in your makeup that deals well with negativity or fear or failure. Everything in you was designed to be positive. Everything in you was designed to win. You were made like Adam and Eve in the beginning. And that problem with that fall, with Adam and Eve in the garden and that whole situation, opened a door for us, and Satan got in there and tricked us. And what's happened to most people, and very often in the house of God, is that they have thought that their circumstances are bigger than the vision that they have. Now, I know that a lot of people will say, well, yes, our circumstances are not as big as God. And that's true too. You've got to have a right vision of God, and we're going to come to that next week, and that's going to be awesome when we talk about what he's like. But here's the thing. What determines your life? Catch me well. This is one of the most important things God ever taught me in 30 years. Here's the thing. What you believe about yourself is what will determine what becomes of your life. And what you believe about yourself in your heart and what you see in your heart, your vision, are the same thing. Vision and faith are linked like this. You can't say, I believe a certain thing about myself, but if you see yourself differently, then the believing isn't real believing. It's just hoping. But the change that God has intended for your life to become everything. How many people have got some kind of dream, some kind of inkling that they want to do something with their life? Isn't that awesome? I want to champion a whole city of people that live like that and feel that way. Because that's what God made you for. How many people feel like there are challenges in life on the way to getting there? Anybody, or is that just me? So that's par for the course. So Joseph gets this vision, long story short, because I've got a couple other things I want to get. Joseph gets this vision, And instead of everything opening up for him and him becoming this great leader, he actually gets almost killed, almost murdered by his own family and thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. And he could be like a blind person and seeing himself as disabled. This was what God dreamed for me. I had this vision, but it just doesn't look like it's going to work. How can it be? Sound familiar? God, why did you let this happen? If I'm in this pit now and I was almost murdered by my own brothers. And I tell you, as soon as you focus on the things that have gone wrong, your focus will take you in that direction. Are you hearing me today? Are you catching this? So what Joseph never did was stop believing the vision on the inside. And because he believed, not because of his circumstances, because he believed, he went a job with a guy called Potiphar, who was a wealthy person, became a servant in his house. Wasn't exactly the goal, because there's always a process. And usually the route, listen to me for all of you who feel like called by God, feel like you want to do something for God, usually the route to get to where God takes you is windy and not exactly the route you would have expected. How many people know it's just not a straight path? Anyone discovered that? And what the devil would love to do is try and get you to see that crooked path and say, oh, well, we're not going where God wanted us to go. And so... But what God wants you to do is understand that the vision you have for yourself, what you see, now get me this because I'm going to upset some religious spirits here this morning. What you see for yourself, people say that's very selfish. No, that's not very selfish. God said certain things about you. He said certain things about you. And we're going to look at some of those things that he said. And if we believe what he said about us, that would be a good thing to do. But if we deny what he said about us because we don't feel we're worthy when he said you're worthy, and we don't feel we're victorious when he said you're already victorious, and we don't feel confident when he said the God who is the confidence of the ends of the earth lives inside you. Are you with me now? So actually, what God wants us to do is be clear on what he said about you and make it what you believe about you. See, you can say, well, I just want to be what God wants me to be. And that's a great intention, but you're going to have to go further than that because there's no clarity there. You're going to have to believe something specific about you because what God believes about you will never come to pass in your life until you make it what you believe about you. Will I say that again? What God believes about you, the future that he has for you, the marriage partner that he has for you, the healthy lifestyle that he has for you, the being in, loved and valued in a community where people accept you and you accept them and there's health and there's growth in relationship that he has for you. The dream that he has for you in terms of financial life, in terms of blessing. All those things that he has for you will never come to pass unless you believe them about you. What God believes about people is one thing, but it doesn't change anything until it becomes what we believe about us. Can you see what I'm saying? I'm laboring it a bit because I want you to catch it because it sounds sacrilegious. It sounds, you know, doctrinally wrong. But what we haven't realized is how magnificent people are and that God doesn't get any glory out of the people that are made in his image living defeated, small, crippled lives. That doesn't make him look big. But when we live big, and I'm not talking about famous, forget famous, that's not worth anything. Some of the most famous people in the world are some of the biggest idiots in the world. And some of the most wonderful people in the world spent most of their life being completely non-famous. People like Mother Teresa, who we all know now, but for the first 20 or 30 years of her life, nobody knew, who was just walking around doing wonderful things for people, laying down her life literally for people. And there are countless thousands of people like that all around the world that we don't know. So don't worry about being famous, but be someone who lives a large life. Are you with me? Because when we live a large life, a blessed life, a strong life, a prospered life, a joy-filled life, that reflects on God. The way we are shows what our Father is like. If you're a child and you walk around in secondhand shoes and beat up clothes and you don't sleep well, you don't eat properly, we don't have enough money to get your hair cut, and you go into school, you're going to have great trouble convincing anyone that your Father deeply cares for you or has much resource. But our Father deeply cares for us and has an abundant resource. And if we don't wear it, then how are we reflecting Him well? How many are being helped so far? Is that helping you? All right, let's have a look at this. So that's a kind of an introduction. Vision is a creative thing. Let's go to the next slide. Vision is a creative thing, and it determines what your life becomes. So like I said, you've got to acknowledge that what I am now is completely connected to the vision I have on the inside of myself. And if I want to change, I've got to change the vision on the inside, and it will, sure as eggs, manifest on the outside. Have a look at this. You ever driven a car? This is Habakkuk 2:2. It's a famous version. You ever driven a car? And like I did when I was young, I used to have, I think I started with a Ford for about 6 months and it cost me $150, I think. Then I stepped up to a Holden, which is the same company as Vauxhall here. And she was a bit of an old beast. And like some of those old cars, you know, you'd sometimes get up in the morning in winter and we're not as cold there, and the windows would fog up and I'd be driving along and the demister's not working. So you open the windows and it's freezing cold and you're trying to do, how many know it? And literally, you have to pull over and stop and get a cloth and wipe. How many got any idea? I'll tell you, if you've lived a little while. And you've got to wipe. Now, the message is this. If the vision is not clear, you make no progress. Some people, when they look at their future and their life, it's unclear. And you won't make any progress unless it's clear. And Habakkuk said exactly that. Write the vision and make it plain or clear on tablets written so that he may run who reads it. For you to run forward, you've got to have a clear vision. So without the demister, there's no without the demister working, there's no progress. And without clear vision in your heart, there isn't any progress either. There's a study by a guy, and this will interest you, and I want you to get this, a guy called Keith Ferrazzi, who wrote a book called Never Eat Alone. I don't know if you've heard that. But he studied this idea of visions and goals, because when you have a vision, you've got to have a mission alongside that vision. A vision is what you see. Remember that? It's a picture of a future, a preferred future, that gives you a passion for the current time, for the present. And when you have a vision, in order to achieve that, you break that down into goals. How many heard about goals ever before? And a goal is, well, this is what I see. And if I see that, then these are the steps I take to get there. And many people, if their vision is not clear, they can't write down steps very clearly. If you have trouble writing down steps, you need greater clarity in your vision. But here's the fascinating thing about goals, what you want to achieve, goals. Keith Ferrazzi did a study of Yale students, all the Yale University students, which is one of the ones in America that's not quite as good as Oxford, but, you know, it's not bad. And it's one of the well-respected universities and educational institutions. And in 1953, he wrote about it. And they observed all the Yale students and they asked them these questions. How many of you have written goals? How many of you have goals for your life, at least a goal, but it's not written yet, but you have it? And how many of you have no goals? These are students. Out of all those students, 3% had written goals. 13% had goals in their life, but they'd never written them down. And 84% had no goals. They just wanted to have fun. Sound familiar? And I want to help you, whether you're young now, setting life, or wherever you are in life, because goals is a part of vision. Listen to this. 20 years later, 1973, he went and visited the same people and checked out how much money they earned, what their financial income was, which is one of the ways. Well, that's not the only thing about life, but in this context, that's a helpful measure. You're going to find this absolutely amazing. The 16%, you had three that had written goals and 13 that had at least some goals. Those 16%, on average, their salary was double what the 84% was 20 years later. That's the power of visions and goals. It turns into real life change. Your goal may not be to make a million, and that's fine, but your goal should be to live a grand life. Now, let me give you this one, and this one you won't believe. The top 3%, watch this, the top 3% that had written goals while they were at uni, they were clear about where they wanted to go and how they were going to get there. The salaries of those 3% were 10 times, those 3% were 10 times the other 97% all put together. Can you believe that? Just from goals. What that turns out to is if the 97%, just to break it down into figures, if the 97% earned $25,000 each, then the 3% were earning a little over $8 million each in a year. You say, well, how come that person did that? It's exactly the same as a person, like I told you, blind or a disabled person. I have a passion, a compassion, as Caroline, my wife, does, to see people restored and made whole. And we see it, and we're seeing it increasingly, and we'll see it increasingly. But one of the things, you know, with disablement or challenge in those kind of areas is sometimes people will get disability allowances, and we know some people, and there are people in our local community that are like that, and they live a life that is not marked by achievement. Can I put it that way? Because they feel that it's just too difficult with this disablement. I haven't got legs, or my legs don't walk, or whatever those things. They don't work properly. And so they feel like, and we may feel that's, you know, certainly understandable, and there's no sense that you can feel my heart. There's no sense of any kind of disrespect for that. But then you've got other people that are disabled, like a certain British man called David Weir, that you might have heard of, who is our wheelchair champion, Paralympic, who's won, I don't know how many gold medals, but countless in Olympics and world championships. But he's disabled too. He can't walk either. And so it's not your circumstances, it's your vision that determines what your life. You're getting this, Ethan? You're getting this? It's your vision. What you see on the inside is what you're going to become. So you got to write it plain. Let's go to this next slide, and I want to show you something else powerful here about vision. Without a vision, the people cast off restraint or perish. Has anyone ever heard that view, that Bible story? Without vision, it's the old King James that says without vision, people perish. The more accurate word, really, the better word, is without vision, the people cast off restraint. But there's a connection between casting off restraint and perishing. Restraint is limitations on your life that stop you going in a direction that you shouldn't go. It's like putting blinkers on a racehorse. You ever seen those racehorses? Have you ever seen racehorses? You're there? If you see, they've got to put blinkers on them, because otherwise they'll see the horse next to them, or they'll see something else. They'll get distracted, and then they won't finish the race. They've got to just look ahead. Proverbs chapter 4 says exactly that. It says, mark out a path for your feet. Walk straight in it. Don't depart from it. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Proverbs 4, just at the end of the chapter. And so restraint is this thing that enables you to achieve vision. How many people have ever been distracted? Distraction is one of the biggest challenges to your effective life. Let me put it this way. One of my favorite, Daniel knows this, one of my favorite proverbs. This is a powerful one. This is a life-changing one. This is actually one of the foundations of wisdom. It says, if if a person cannot, greater is the person who rules their spirit than those who take a city. Do rules their passion. And then in that's, and then that's 16:32. And then later on in the book of Proverbs, it says this: the man or woman who cannot rule their spirit, who cannot put restraints on their life, is like a city with all its walls broken down. And I've had experiences like that in my life, and maybe you have as well. And sometimes we say, dear God, why did you let that happen? Why did you allow that kind of financial trouble to hit my life? Why did you allow those kind of... And there are troubles that happen. Joseph went through troubles. We were tracking with Joseph. He's in Potiphar's house. We'll come back to Joseph. But you know, he was almost killed. Then he just got a job as a servant, but he was greatly promoted in that job as a servant. So he keeps reaching towards his vision. But then he has another difficulty, another problem, because the wife of this guy, Potiphar, is really keen on him. And she makes out that she's constantly asking him to sleep with her. And then in the end, because he won't, because he's a man of integrity and he respects the boss, he will just not do something that stupid. So she cries rape, and tears her piece of her clothing off and leaves it on him. And he gets done for attempted rape of the boss's wife and goes into prison. Great story. You ever felt like that? Not quite maybe that bad. Great. Oh, great. Thanks so much, God, for the vision. Yeah. Like everybody's bowing down to me now. Yeah, that's working. I'm in a position of leadership. I'm in a prison. It's like sometimes the direction God wants you to go and the direction you're going are completely opposite. But if you hold the vision... As soon as Joseph says in his heart, must be wrong, too hard, can't do it, just can't see it anymore, can't see myself being stable, can't see myself being really happy, can't see myself really ever having quite enough, can't see myself happily married, Can't see myself like achieving my dreams, what I'd really like to do. I just can't. And when you can't see it, all you're doing is working against the gift that God's given you, and you'll end up being where you're seeing. You'll end up going just what you see. And so Joseph held on to that vision. Now, the other story I was just on in Proverbs is this: cast off restraint. Sometimes our lives are a mess because we've lacked restraint. And restraint is really disciplines. And like somebody once said, the world lies at the feet of a disciplined person. You know, discipline is one of the great... The ability to discipline your life and to stay focused on what's important will be one of the greatest keys to your success. But if you lack disciplines, then your life will become like a city, but all the walls are broken down. If you keep spending more money than you're earning, and it just happens year after year, sooner or later, the walls of your life will fall down. If you keep eating more than you want to eat, sooner or later, the weight is going to get bigger. If you keep talking about things that are negative and destructive, sooner or later, that'll manifest in your life. You can't, so the restraints of those kinds of areas, you see. If you keep getting angry and losing your temper with your partner or with close friends, sooner or later, relationship troubles will hit you. If you keep shutting down when somebody said something that offended you a little bit, stretched you a little bit, wasn't what you wanted to hear, wasn't what you expected, and you take offense, and you say, well, I thought they cared about me, but evidently they don't. When actually the last 12 months of their life, week in and week out, shows how much they care for you, but all they did was make a mistake. Anyone ever made a mistake? You see? And if you take offense, and you allow that hurt to get into your heart and you don't rule your spirit, your passion is, I feel really annoyed. Rule that. I don't have to let that dominate my life. I don't have to let that affect my decisions. I'll step where I want to step. I will make the decisions despite the passion and the heat that I might feel in my heart. Ruling your spirit. And if you don't do that, you see areas. And where we have areas of our lives that have broken down, then a lot of times it's because of that. Now, I bring that back to this because without a vision, people cast off restraint or perish. You can see the connection. Without restraint, perishing starts to happen. But without a vision, when you have a vision, you see it, it enables you, it automatically gives you restraints. And that's the way God wants you to live, and that's the way he wants to motivate you. See, a lot of times we've been motivated by fear, and that's not a healthy motivation. In fact, in our country, we really push that. So, and it's a little different from where I grew up. We don't do it like that, but in something. So I see advertisements that want to stop, you know, on the back of a bus or on television, and they want to stop people driving too fast because people sometimes die in bad accidents. But the motivation is fear. Everyone say fear? Yes. Motivation is fear. So there's a picture of a six-year-old, and it's graphic, and they try and make it, you know, as graphic as they're allowed to by law. And there's a little teddy bear there, and she's been hit by a speeding car, and they ask you a question like, so what are you going to say to her parents? And it's like, oh, make me feel guilty, why don't you? I haven't even done that, and I feel sick just reading it. Now, nobody wants to hurt innocent children. But what I'm saying is, when you motivate people by fear, and a lot of people are like that. Well, I better be like this in case she leaves, or they're not my friends anymore. And I just better do this. I better do what the boss asked me to do, even though I don't feel comfortable about it. I better just toe the line in case I lose my job. And when we motivate ourselves by fear, we're motivated the wrong way, and we cripple ourselves because we've lost sight of the fact that we're so precious to God and that he's with us, and that the ability to express what's in your heart in a reasonable and a rational way is a healthy thing. It's necessary for relationship. Come on now, are you hearing me this morning? Are you switched on? You're really paying attention here this morning. So when you have a vision and you see a vision of a happy family with a nice little six-year-old girl driving, walking with them, walking across the road on a pedestrian crossing, and you say, it just looks so happy that people are beaming, and you put a little statement on it that says, because you drive well, you help make this happen. Now that's the same, we're looking for the same goal, but we're inspiring people with vision instead of scaring people from making a mistake. And you were not built to work on fear. Can you catch what I'm saying? Yeah. So vision, when you see a vision, when you see a picture, put a picture of yourself. You know, if you're heavier than you want to be, and I'm working on it myself, I mean, it takes hard work to get into this kind of shape. You'd have to admit that. This doesn't happen by accident, ladies and gentlemen. This is... this is just years of neglect. No. But, you know, if for many of us, those kinds of things are challenges. And so put a vision, instead of saying, I've got to lose weight, I'm bad, put a vision of yourself like you want to be. And say, that's where I'm going. That's what I'm going to look like. And that'll help you. When you see that vision and then, you know, the muffin man comes along and the ice cream person comes along. We're trying to keep it healthy upstairs, we are. In fact, we've got a great thing coming in. It'll be probably next month. We're going to do a thing which we did a little while ago called Total Health Sunday. And we're going to just focus on all aspects of health, physical health, spiritual health, social health, mental health. And I'm going to have some of the other people in the church talk to us a little bit about aspects of health and how to keep a healthy lifestyle, because all those things are important. But this principle I'm talking to you about, vision, is the biggest one of all of those. Because if you see yourself struggling, you're going to be struggling. And even if people around you are encouraging you, you've got to allow that to change the inside picture of who you see. Without a vision, people cast off restraint. But when you have vision, it helps you live with restraint. I have a vision to take my family on a great holiday for next year for 2 weeks to America. And so I do the calculation, and it's going to cost me $3,000. And I have to pay up front, so I'm going to need to save. $200 a month will be $2,500, so probably $250 a month or so will get me to $3,000. So I've got to save. Now I've got a vision. So instead of saying, you're not allowed to have that, you can't have that coffee, you can't buy those expensive things for lunch, Paul, stop buying that. Instead, you say, nah, you know what I see? I see 2 brilliant weeks with my family in the sun lying there and being blessed. And I inspire myself with that vision. And that helps me maintain the restraints to not use the money for things I don't need to. And the whole of your life works like that. Am I helping you this morning? The whole of your life. You'll become what you see. Let's flip over to the next. I think I've got just a couple to go here. We're focusing on this. It's not your condition or your circumstances that determine your life. It's your vision. How do you see you? So let me give you a couple of simple examples. Important questions. Just a couple that I've got for you. Watch me on this. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself, for instance, there it is. Thank you. I thought I'd put it on the slide, but she's cleverly laid it out. And I was thinking, I'm not sure. Do you see yourself? Just point one is enough. Oh, that, can you wind back and just do one at a time? Oh, you're so clever. Thank you. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself fighting to win? A couple of simple examples for you. Do you see yourself fighting to win? I'm going to win, but I've got a fight to do it. Or do you see yourself already won? Now, from a Bible perspective, when it comes to living a victorious life, Jesus has already won the battles we're facing. So even though we have to have resolve, he's actually already won us. But if you feel like you're fighting all the time on the inside, it's because the picture you have is that you're fighting rather than I've won. Let's go to the next one. Do you see yourself healthy, fulfilled, and whole? Or trying to get healthy and whole? How you see yourself. I'm not saying you don't need to do exercise and that you don't need to watch what you eat. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if the picture on the inside of you is I'm trying to get there, then you are going to mirror the picture that you have on the inside. You're going to live your life as someone trying to get there. Whereas when the picture on the inside of you is that's who I am, I believe that's who I am. That is the image that'll take you in that direction. Are you with me? And one more here I've got for you. Do you see yourself going to make it through life or super abundantly blessed? And I've deliberately done that because it's not a complete opposite. I could easily say, do you see yourself losing in life? And some people do, just feeling like I'm not going to get the job that I go for. I'm not going to get the guy, the girl that I'm hoping for. I'm not going to have the house that I'm hoping for. And so you see yourself that way. Or you can see yourself, I'm going to make it, but there's element of struggle. Or do you see yourself super abundantly blessed? How do you see yourself? Because if you see yourself super abundantly blessed, and I'm going to give you a Bible verse for that because that'll blow some people away. If you see yourself super abundantly blessed, and that's the picture you have of you, then that's the life you're going to live. Let's go. We got one more slide. And I want to just catch you. I want to leave you with something like this. How to get a hold of God's vision for you. I think I've got three here, haven't I? Number one, what did he say about you? What did God say about you? How to get God's vision of your life. And before we move on that, let me throw something into you. What you believe on the inside is strongly connected with what you hear. Faith comes by hearing. In other words, what you believe is connected with what you hear. For people that have been brought up in a home, and this is why parenting is so important and why Carrie and I have a real heart to help people raise kids well, because what happens, over, I think it's 70%, I did primary education as a younger person. I believe it's 70% of what a child is ever going to learn, they learn by the age of five. It was the Jesuit priests that said, give me a child until they're seven and I'll show you the man. Because the way God created us is there's a lot of formation that goes on in those early years. Now, if you raised in those early years, seeing an image of yourself as struggling, or seeing an image of yourself as having a lack, or seeing an image of yourself as unlovely or unworthy of love because you weren't treasured and people didn't tell you they love you and they adore you and people didn't cherish you and pick you up and they weren't always there for you, whatever the experiences that happened to people. If that, then you've got an inbuilt image in there. Now, you can change that, but it takes work to change it because it was built in early. But the way God has designed your brain, it's actually designed to change. It changes every day. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in our upcoming stuff, how you can change. But here's the thing. When you start to make what God said about you the image of you, and you start to build those thoughts, that's what will transform your vision. And as soon as your vision transforms, your life will start to transform. So what did God say about you? What do we got next? I think there's these two. Yep. What environment do you frequent? They've discovered, they're geniuses really, that if you're an orange tree and you're built to grow several meters wide and several meters high and flourishing oranges, that if they plant you in Spain, you're likely to have a massive harvest of good fruit all your life. But if they take you to Glasgow and plant you there, you're not likely to have any good fruit all your life, and you'll probably struggle just to stay alive. What environment do you frequent? What do you plant yourself in? To me, that's one of the greatest importances about being in the house of God and hearing the word of God and being around the people of God. It's not a religious experience. I don't like the word religion at all. I love God. I'm passionate about Jesus. I'm sold out for his purpose and his kingdom. But the idea of religion irks me. God is not religious. God is very cool. God is very laid back. God is very wonderful. God is very cheeky. God is very relaxed. God's very amazing. God's very confident. God believes in you. You get around God, your life lifts up. I mean, you could be a mess. You could be a prostitute. I'm not suggesting you are this morning. But you could be a prostitute caught in the act, and God would come along and have a little chat with all your accusers and say, so where have they gone? Where have your accusers gone? They've gone, Luke. They're not condemning me. I don't condemn you either. But go your way and don't sin anymore. In other words, don't do things that are just going to bring trouble on your life. But neither do I condemn you. You could be a person that's totally messed up, and God will not condemn you. He'll lift you. It's so wonderful to know God. So what environment do you frequent? You see, you were made to flourish. But the church you're in, the community of people you're in, when I say frequent, it's be in the life of God's house together. When you frequent that, you plant there, you live there. This is my home. These are my people. This is my message. Whatever's going on in there, that environment will create the best in you. You know about stem cell research? I'm giving a lot of facts this morning. They've discovered with stem cell research, stem cells are like kind of generic cells. They'll take on whatever. But if you have stem cells and you have a culture of bone cells, and you put the stem cells in the bone cells, they'll become bone cells. And if you have a culture of muscle cells and you put stem cells in the muscle cells, they will become muscle cells. They will become the environment that they're in. And that's exactly the same for you. So when the Bible says, don't forsake the gathering together of one another, as is the habit of some people, but do it all the more. It's not talking about a religious rule that you've got to be in church every week or else the pastor's not going to be happy. It's about you're an orange tree built to flourish, and the environment that you're in has everything to do with how much you flourish. So get in a good environment. Get in a place that lifts you and throw yourself in there. That's what God was getting at. We're just about done. I'm going to give you one more thought here. What environment do you frequent and do you meditate? Well, I'm going to pick up on that next week. Do you meditate? But I'm talking about Christian meditation, which means to think about, to chew over, and to mutter to yourself. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. I've got one verse for you. I want you to turn in your Bible just in case I didn't give you enough Bible verses for today. Have a look at Romans 5:17. Turn there, and if you don't know that, grab your Bibles. Have a real quick look, and this is our first verse. And I'm going to last verse, and I'm going to show you a little visual on this one. Watch this. Romans 5:17 says this. You there? Romans 5:17, one of the great verses of the Bible. All right, I'm going to read it. Let's follow it on if you've got it there for me. Listen to this. For if, because it's not on the screen. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more, everyone say, how much more, will those, say it after me, will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. When I was talking about what does God say about you, that's just one thing out of a boatload of things, and I'll probably send some e-thoughts out this week that'll talk about this, what God says about you. But what it says there is death reigned in our lives, and with death comes sickness, ill health, mental health, problems, troubles, fears. Death reigned through Adam. But then it says, how much more? Everyone say, how much more? How much more will those who, do you remember what it said? Receive abundance of grace. Receive, even down the back there, receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. That's what God says about you. What have you got to do? Receive abundance of grace. So when you're meditating, when you think, this is one of the best things you can do. You sit there and you look up and you see a truckload. I mean, one of those massive tip truck things full of grace, and grace means unmerited favor, full of blessing. And you just see the thing tipping out over you. You say, what are you doing? I'm meditating. I'm meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God is not reading the Bible. It's thinking about it. It's chewing it over. It's creating new thoughts. It's renewing your mind. So you see it. That's what I do some days. Most days. I just see myself. Thank you. There's grace all over me. And the thoughts come, oh yeah, but it doesn't look like it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I see it. Thank you, Lord. God promised it. I see it. God said it's true. I'm going to believe what God said it's true. And you begin to recreate the vision of yourself. If you want to live, and I make this point last because I don't want to just inspire you and give you great information. I want to give you a practical way to help actually increase and transform the vision that you have on the inside of you, because that'll take you into the great life that God has for you. Close your eyes for a minute. Can you see it right now? Can you see grace pouring on your life? Favor. Favor. Jobs. Favor. Relationships. Favor. Blessings. Favor. Healings. Favor. The ability to forgive. Favor. Working the right way. Favor. Unexpected financial help and blessing. Favor. Don't look for where's it going to come. Just believe. Just see that you've been favored by God. Keep your eyes closed for a moment. Think about that, and then I'm just going to pray. Father, touch every life here. Let them see things in the grace and the favor of God. Let them see these beautiful people see themselves the way, in a way they never have before. While all your eyes are closed, if there's anyone here that says, that's thinking in their heart, you know, I'd like to connect with God. You know, I'd like to, maybe you're a Christian, or maybe you've been a Christian in the past, and you're not really an active Christian, or maybe you just don't really know, but you're sitting here and you're thinking, this makes sense to me. I'd like that guy to pray with me. I'd like to connect with God. If that's you, I'd love you to slip your hand up just now, real quick. All the eyes are closed. Just slip it up and say, that's me. Let me pray with you this morning. And God bless you. That's awesome. You can put your hand down. Is there anyone else here that says, yeah, that's me. I'd like to do that. I really want to make a step and put my life and trust God this morning. Anyone else here at all? Don't be hesitant. Just go for it. If you know in your heart that's you, awesome. We want to keep giving people opportunity to connect with God. It's the most wonderful thing you can ever do. Wonderful. You can open your eyes. I'm going to pray with that lady in just a moment. Hey, listen, God bless you. Did you have a good week? Did that help you talking a little about vision? We're now going to have a fantastic week.